happy today to have on with us Doug Bollier, who is the county administrator working under the auspices of the county commissioners. And Doug, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And you, Dewey?
Well, I'm alive. Doug, the first thing we've got to talk about, of course, is the jails, because there's been an awful lot of publicity on the problems involved. How are you funded by the jails?
Well, we're funded primarily through county resources. The jail budget is $3.6 million annually. It looks like we might spend in the arena of about $3.5 million for the year that we're in, and we only get $600,000 from the state to subsidize the jail. Under the previous format with the Board of Corrections, where the Board of Corrections, a state entity, did the financial oversight of the jail, we were getting $1.6 million. So we've been cut by about $1 million, and it makes things difficult, but we're managing.
Well, how do you raise the funds, Doug?
Well, primarily through taxation.
Does that mean that the county is going to have to spend more than previously did because of the Augusta rulings?
Yes, that's probably a definite, unless there's some manna from the heavens in terms of more money from the state. But, the prognosis for that is not great.
Doug, the jails are overcrowded, aren't they?
They are. I get a population count every day, and I think we were at about 114 today. And if you look back at what we were at just 7 or 8 years ago, our rated capacity back then was 72 inmates. And today, or in this day and age, our rated capacity is 114. And as of today, we're right at capacity.
Well, now, most of those people have been also are subject to fines. Wouldn't that those fines be applicable to your problems?
The fine money actually goes to the state of Maine. And then we get a small portion returned back to us, but it's really a negligible amount. It probably amounts to about $20,000, $21,000 a year. So we don't get a substantial amount of monies back from the fines that are levied.
Well, now, in other words, the Houlton jail, the county jail in Houlton, is overcrowded. Are you thinking of any other alternate facilities?
At this point in time, I'm not sure what the sheriff always has a contingency plan, and I'm not sure, where we would take our inmates if we needed to board them out. I'm sure that he'd look to a facility that, is fairly close, although, one of the closest facilities, I guess, would be in Penobscot, and they're currently boarding their inmates. So we might look to Washington County or some other counties, and that's within the realm or the bailiwick of the sheriff.
Doug, do you have a per-cost inmate cost?
There is. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
That would be the sheriff's department.
Yes, yes. The
Doug
sheriff also would know all that.
Doug, also another consideration coming up, some townships like Cary and Oxbow, I know have already done it, are trying to become plantations per se.
Right.
How would that affect you people?
Well, they're currently plantations, and what they want to do in a plantation is an organized form of government. It's kind of like a town, but on a smaller scale. Oxbow Plantation is going through the process. They voted, their citizens and their community in Oxbow voted favorably to move this process forward. They were successful in that vote. Then the next vote was to go to the legislature and get an affirmative vote there. The legislature did give them an affirmative vote. So the next vote would be for Oxbow to take another final vote within their community to decide whether or not they want to become part of the unorganized territory. With respect to Cary Plantation, they took the initial vote to move forward. That passed. However, when they went to the legislature, basically did not give their seal of approval. So in order for Cary Plantation to take another bite at the apple, they would have to go through this process again. And I presume that could only happen next legislative session, sometime after January of 17.
Well, let me ask you this, Doug. If several of the plantations do become unorganized territories,
right,
how would that affect your operation?
Well, it means that we'd have more to do. But it doesn't mean that, you know, we don't have the capacity to do it. It just means that we'd have more to do. As far as our role in the unorganized territory, the county commissioners act kind of like the municipal founders of the whole unorganized territory. And the county itself, the administration, provides municipal-type services for the unorganized territory. Those are traditionally the road-type issues, the road maintenance, the road plowing, the infrastructure, the improvement of the roads, culverts, things like that, ditching. And then we also would provide the ambulance services. We provide for fire protection, solid waste disposal, all those things. But basically, we affect all that through one person, our public works director, who is in charge of negotiating contracts for those services. So it means more workload for us, but it's not a workload that we're unaccustomed to, or a type of work that we're unaccustomed to. We can pull that off, and that's not a problem to us.
Well, do you have an annual budget, Doug?
We do. For the unorganized territory?
Well, yes. Wouldn't that increase your costs?
Yeah, it would increase the cost of the budget for the unorganized territory, but that cost is largely borne and paid for by the property tax divisions within Maine Revenue Services, because in the case of the unorganized territory, it is the residents that live there and pay taxes there that pay for those services. It's unlike the county budget, where those services are subsidized in large part by the municipalities. You know, we don't send the tax bills out for the unorganized territory. They're sent out by the state of Maine. We receive our funding from the state of Maine, and that is actually an experiment that's been going on for quite some years, and it's one that works extremely well. We have a very good partnership with the state in regards to administration and budgeting for the unorganized territory. We really don't have any problems there. We get our money when it's due. It's very timely. We get quarterly payments, and it's not a burden on us in any way.
Well, Doug, I'm a little confused. To the residents of Cary.
Yes.
Now, if they do become an unorganized township, is it possible their taxes would be higher or lower?
In all likelihood, their taxes will go down substantially, because what you do is you get, I don't want to say a volume discount, but all of these areas within the unorganized territory would contribute to the tax base. So the Connors of the world, all these Connors of the world, the Cross Lakes, the Sinclairs, the anywhere where, you know, you have taxpayers in the unorganized territory, they're all sharing the burden collectively. So there's economies of scale in that type of model, and what would happen is basically the mill rate would go down substantially and their taxes would go down. For example, the mill rate in the unorganized territory, currently about $6.90 per thousand. I challenge you to find any municipality, probably in the state of Maine, that does it for less than that. I'm not aware of any, if there are.
Well, Doug, if that's the case, a lot of other communities, the smaller communities, might decide that they want to go that way. Where would the monies come from to make up the difference?
Monies would come from the property tax division of Maine Revenue Services. And the cost is, again, it's spread out by essentially the membership, or those taxpayers within the unorganized territory. And, you know, typically, because, I mean, if you look at unorganized areas, they have your basic services. They don't have the type of municipal services that you might encounter in a Holton, a Madawaska, Caribou, a Presque Isle. Their municipal type services are limited, so that does impact and lower the cost. And, you know, these areas are typically very rural, and that's why you have the costs go down. There's economies of scale, again, in the whole paradigm, or the whole model of the way this is constructed. So the costs would go down. Now, you know, the legislature has some sensitivity around probably one of the reasons why, I don't know all the reasons why they didn't approve of Cary, but one of the reasons why would be that they get concerned when the population threshold is a certain number. like if you're looking, Oxbow, for example, has a population of, I believe, 60, 65, that's a low population, relatively low population number. And I think many members of the legislature view that as a community that's ripe for deorganization. You might have other areas that want to deorganize that have a population of 200. I think Cary is in the vicinity of 200. I'm not absolutely certain about that, but roughly that number. And once you get into, you know, that number, 200, maybe even 150, whatever, anything over 100 seems to make the legislature leery about voting for deorganization. So, but anyway, as I understand it, many of the community members in Cary were disappointed with the vote, and I understand they might try again, and, you know, that's their prerogative, and I would encourage them to do that if they feel strongly about it.
Well, I am sure that it's a problem with the legislature, because if Cary passes, probably an enticement to for a lot of other smaller communities around the state of Maine, which would be, the monies would then be kind of hard to get.
Right.
Doug, other situations, anything else involved that might be of interest to the people in the county as far as the county commissioners are concerned?
Well, you know, there's always things. We're always doing things. You know, we're certainly busy, but right now things are fairly routine in terms of our business. We have these routine items. You know, we've been doing some tax abatements. If a community doesn't have an appeal board, and let's say a member of that community is not happy with the tax bill that they have, and they've appealed it to the town, but there's no appeal board, then if they want, they can have their appeal heard before the commissioners. You know, we've been doing a fair number of those. It seems like we're doing more of those than we've done before. And, you know, beyond that, it's just the kind of the daily grind, I guess, public administration.
Are you working with a balanced budget for this year?
Yeah, we always balance our budget. I will say that we have three budgets that we administer. The county general fund budget, that's for general services that the county provides, like law enforcement, registry of deeds, registry of probate, emergency management, you know, things like that, facilities management, things like that. Then we have the unorganized territory budget. Both of those budgets are truly balanced. And then we have the jail budget. The jail budget is balanced because we have a requirement that we balance our budgets. But with the jail budget, we started with the assumption, or we built into our model, the fact that we knew that we weren't going to get enough money from the state like we used to run that facility. So when we started the year, we decided that we would take $572,000 out of our fund balance, out of the general fund county budget fund balance, in order to subsidize that budget so that we could keep the tax artificially low, the county tax low or lower than it would have taken. If we had not done that, we would have had a 20% spike in the county tax. So as things, you know, settled because of that action, our tax increase was in the neighborhood of 8.2% on average. So we do have a balanced budget for the jail, but if we have any financial problems, they literally stem from the jail and basically from this, what the state did to us. When the state embarked on the ill-fated voyage with the Board of Corrections and that whole thing in 2009, that really caused a lot of financial distress to our county and other counties for that matter. And now that the jails have been the financial responsibility has been given back to the county commissioners, we're in a position where in order for this thing to self-correct and for us to get back on the right track, it's literally going to take another 2 or 3 years. And it's going to take 2 or 3 years of some pain from within, some pain from, you know, from the outside. You know, employees have had to, you know, suffer some of that pain, our own employees, you know, through various cutbacks in benefits and things like that. And some of the organizations that we fund were also cut back. So we're doing it through, you know, various means, cuts, tax increases, maybe slighter than they could be if, you know, we just shifted all the burden to our property taxpayers. And then, you know, we're doing everything we can to try to leverage some extra money from the state. And tomorrow, LD 1614 will be back before the Maine legislature. And it's already survived a line item veto vote. The governor line item vetoed a couple elements in that bill, one of them being the funding to the county jail system, $2.4 million spread essentially throughout the state, not just our facility. And we don't know what our share of it's going to be. That's still up in the air. Tomorrow they're going to have a vote to the line item veto was overridden. So tomorrow there's a vote on the whole bill, and we're hoping that, because the governor has vetoed that bill, we're hoping that vote will be overridden and that before June 30th, we'll receive some extra money from the state for the year, the current fiscal year that we're in. And let's face it, you know, anything would help. The amount could be as low as $70,000-$90,000 if it, you know, if ultimately at the end of tomorrow this bill passes, and then, you know, it could also be $200,000-$400,000, and that would go a long ways in helping us. Whatever we get, we'll be grateful if we should get it. So that's the big issue that's of extreme importance that's going to take place tomorrow in the Maine legislature.
Are you optimistic about the future of Aroostook County? I know I love it, but you are optimistic that we're going to survive.
I'm very optimistic we're going to survive. This is just, you know, we go through a sequence of hurdles in life, and this is just another hurdle, and we're going to get over the hurdle, and we're going to get over it one way or the other, even if we have to knock it down or, you know, hopefully we'll be able to just leap over it, and because we're in good shape, it'll be somewhat effortless.
Well, thank you very much, Doug Boyer, who I know, and I'm talking to the county commissioners, are very high on the way you operate, and thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for being so gracious, and thank you for having me.